everybody. Welcome to a great edition of Talking Ticks. I'm Scott Girard. Join me, as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got another good pod for you this week. LSU baseball sweeps Purdue of Fort Wayne. But we start the season off with a sweep, so a lot of good things, a lot of good firsts, expectedly. But we had some mixed results with basketball over the weekend and some other stuff, some lanyap, which we'll get into. But before we do that, I wanted to check in with you guys. Hope you had a good week. Nothing really new here to report. Just excited that LSU's other seasons are going in full swing. How y'all doing?
Good. Good to be with you, man. It's good to be talking about a winning program. I mean, three straight wins, nice sweep. I mean, lineup looks good top to bottom. I'm excited about baseball season. It's exactly what we wanted out of that first, you know, it's like what Elvis said, we're TCB, we're taking care of business. And I'm just excited to get this season rolling.
Yeah. Yep. Happy belated Valentine's Day to all our listeners. Love is in the air, I suppose, maybe. LSU baseball taking the field always kind of signals that spring is right around the corner. A lot of excitement around that, even if the men's basketball is not heading for a March Madness berth coming up in a couple weeks, that the women, I'm sure, will be. We'll take one for two there. But yeah, strong start to the season from baseball. Everybody was interested to see whether we're going to look good. Are we going to look like the number two team in the country that we're ranked, or is it going to be kind of hit or miss? And thankfully there's a lot more hit than miss. So happy to break down all that news there with y'all today.
Indeed. Before we do, I did want to give a shout out. I mean, the Tiger uniforms always look great, but just wondering, cause you know, everybody else started with their baseball season as well. Did you happen to see the Tulane Mardi Gras uniforms?
Oh yeah, I did see this. Man, Tulane has all the good uniforms because they've got those Mardi Gras uniforms, and they got the I think basketball has a Mardi Gras uniform too. Yeah, and then I mean, of course, the football uniforms have been good for a couple of years now.
Those uniforms look like a delicious king cake almost.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet as we're getting into the Mardi Gras season. Well, I think the actual Mardi Gras week is going to happen here in, I guess, a week and a half. But yeah, cool for them. And they lean into the uniforms a lot, especially in the football too as well. They've been known for their kind of powder blues and kind of royal greens and all sorts of combinations. I wouldn't necessarily call them the Oregon of the South, but they've got some pretty cool combos. So we'll see if LSU does any unique looks this season. They've been sticking to their classic yellows and whites, but they do mix it up from time to time.
They wore the pinstripes this weekend, which I liked.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. They got, I mean, like I said, nothing wrong with the LSU, the clean whites or the pinstripe whites. But like you said, Mardi Gras coming up here, I think it's March 4th. Next year, though, it'll be on February 17th. After that, on 2027, February 9th. So maybe we will see an alignment of the start of the season with the Mardi Gras. So we'll see. But again, why mess with if it's not broken? But Tigers did what they needed, should have, what we expected them to do. Looked good. Like I said, we had a lot of firsts, you know, a lot of first strikeouts, first wins of the season, or as a Tiger, first hit / double, triple, home run as a Tiger, all of that. I mean, we knew it was Purdue, Fort Wayne, but still, you know, you never know who you're really playing until you play them. But Tigers took care of business, and we got to see, you know, all the names that we had heard about leading up to this, including Derek Curiel and Chase Shores and Ianson and, oh my goodness, there's so
my
many
limit short. Here.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel Dickinson.
Oh yeah,
you know, who pretty much made us reshuffle our infield. All lived up to the hype too, I gotta say. And it was pretty good for attendance wise. I think LSU had at least 11,000 in the box. At least one of those games that I saw. So they showed out. The rest of the SEC did too. But Tigers look good. Jay Johnson was happy. I'm happy. I imagine you guys are happy. But I don't know. Did you uh, Did you see anything that was, I don't know, either particularly surprising or just very, very reassuring?
I mean, glad to see that Bear Bombs are back. Yep. Jared Jones looking good.
Scoreboard.
Hitting one off the scoreboard, like you said. I think that, man, this lineup, I don't know if it's just kind of, you know, early season, rose-colored glasses, all that, but the fact that we have Milam and Braswell hitting at 8 and 9, where those were two guys who hit at the top of the lineup last year, just shows you how deep this team is on the offensive side, which really makes me excited. I mean, Braswell had a great, I want to say like a double, an RBI double, yesterday on Saturday. So, I mean, I'm excited about, and Jay Johnson has talked about it in his press conferences. Like, this is a deep team. There's a lot of talent on this team. We got to see the top player in the country last year pitch today for William Schmidt for like an inning and a half or so. He looked good, had two Ks, looked poised for a true freshman. I think there's a lot to be excited about for this LSU team. Of course, like you said, it's Purdue, Fort Wayne, which not SEC type competition, but we have seen LSU struggle in these opening matchups with, you know, random teams. So I'm glad that we're taking care of business.
Yeah, it was a very, I would say, fundamentally sound weekend for the Tigers, which is what you want. Kind of come in, take care of business against the team that you bring in to get your season warmed up and kind of see where you stand. And they really delivered on all that. The three starters, Cade Anderson on Friday, Anthony Aonson on Saturday, and then today with Chase Shores, all going exactly five innings, very controlled outings for each one of them, only two combined runs given up. So it was very encouraging to see. We didn't, I would say, mow them down. It's not like we recorded a million strikeouts, but they kept their bats pretty cool, and nobody like went one and done, like the first inning they were out or something. And that's something that we've seen recently. So that gives other starters plenty of opportunities in the next couple of weeks to come in and support that cast, considering we have two midweek games against Southern and Nichols coming up this week. So maybe we get some more of these guys, some of these transfers we brought in. But I was very encouraged by what I saw on the mounds, and the relievers as well were pretty much shut down, that gave up zero runs combined across the three games. And then the offensive outing was pretty balanced as well. A few home runs, a few singles, doubles, pretty much everything. Even the walks, I think we drew 23 walks or something across the game. So Jared Jones had like five by himself. So good to see him being disciplined at the plate. And you don't want to start heaping too much praise right off the bat, but there weren't any super like glaring weak points, I think. And so that's encouraging, because whereas before you'd be like, oh, we only have one real starter, or we have a liability at first base, or the only thing I would even kind of question was like catcher. We swapped a few people in and out, but I think that's just more kind of tinkering with the roster. So yeah, very pleased with what I saw, and happy that we can build on this going forward.
Yeah. And we will probably will continue to see some tinkering at catcher. Cause I think with, I'm going to say it wrong, Arambe, however you say it, the guy's good raw talent. Good arm. I think Hernandez gives us probably a little bit more threat as a bat, but I don't know. We'll see. I trust in Jay. But yeah, it was great to see Cade Anderson. I mean, he just, like you said, Dana, they all went five innings. We didn't have to worry about that. They all had plenty of strikeouts. Cade had, I think, eight, and just took care of business. Even if they did give up a hit here or a run there, they shut down any other threats that could have, you know, made these games challenging, but they weren't. And even when they were, you know, I think LSU's talent was just way too much. It was never going to happen. Maybe it would have come down to like a 5-3 ball game or something, but I don't think LSU would have had to come back with like seven runs in the ninth, which I think Georgia Tech did this weekend, which is, you know, great baseball, but still, I don't think we're ever going to be in that situation. But, yeah, we got to see what Jay Johnson wanted to see. You know, our start is going five innings, getting the win, and our offense just making it Undoubtable.
Yeah, I mean, they really left no doubt in this series, which is exactly what you want out of a series against Purdue Fort Wayne. Just overall excited for baseball back in the box. And, you know, this just makes me excited for, like, when SEC play and all that comes up, because, you know, it's just going to be a good year.
Yep, especially with the stiff competition that they're facing. And, like I said, plenty more tune-ups this week. We got Southern in the box on Tuesday, and then going down to Thibodeau to face the Nichols Colonels on Wednesday. So that could be interesting. Sometimes LSU's been known to cough up one or two of these midweek games to in-state rivals this year, and especially on the road at Nichols, they're going to be playing their hardest before Omaha University, the Mavericks, come to town for the Friday through Sunday three-game series. So, again, not exactly world beaters, but we'll see what happens. Did the super quick scouting report on Omaha, and they played at Tulane this week and went 0-3 against the Green Wave. So, they gave up at least 10 runs every single game, so maybe we can expect LSU to hang big numbers on the scoreboard again. But yeah, I just want to see continued polish and development of all the players, and get just that starting nine locked down going into the midseason.
Yep, and I think for the most part we do. I mean, everyone that played showed out. They, like you said, no real weak spot. So when, like, oh, I think Jay Johnson needs to look at this guy on third base, what are we doing there? Or, you know, even so, it's like we don't even have that as a topic of conversation, because nothing like that really happened. The only goof, I would say, in the whole weekend was maybe today. I think they were trying to get a guy in a rundown between first and second, and I don't know, I think Bear could have got the runner out before the guy got home, but it didn't work out. But anyway, one run scored. What's that? Two for the weekend? Oh, well, I trust how you're pitching, but still no real weak spots yet.
Yep. And yeah, we were talking about the offensive side. The only person who was kind of swinging a cool bat was Stephen Milam, who went 2-for-11. So not even miserable, I suppose, but we know from last year, he's kind of that hitting for average guy, and with the utility he has with the glove, can't really put him out of the lineup, at least to start with. So the experiment with him at shortstop seems to be working okay so far. No errors there. And Braswell at third, and Dickinson really, I don't know about surprise, because he was very hyped coming into the season, but he definitely popped and showed flash both at the bat and in the field. So the hype was definitely warranted, as he's hitting over 500, went 5-for-9, 7 RBIs total, including one home run. So a really good sign there, and shows the power the transfer portal, which we already know, bringing in guys like Paul Skeens. But yeah, Dickinson played well. And then Chris Stanfield, another transfer from Auburn at the center field position, had a lot of range and presence at the plate too. So these veteran guys can come in and make an immediate impact. And that's good to see from the scouting team, I guess you can see at LSU, now that you don't just have to recruit high school, but all the colleges, big and small, across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, Tommy, deep. I mean, even the guys that were kind of came in, I don't know if it was midway or I don't know. It's like guys like Ethan Fry stepped up. You know, they got their hits. When they did get into the game, they made the most of it. Happy to see that. Josh, we had another Pearson playing, yeah. Got his first hit, which is great. You love to see legacy.
John and Josh. Right. And then today, I'm like, they were both on base at the same time, I think. That was kind of weird. So I think John Pearson opened his college career with a stand-up double, which is kind of cool. So both of those guys, Wes Monroe standouts, Josh and John Pearson. So again, it's a deep team. There's a lot of talent. Excited to see, you know, how we continue on.
What about how we have two brothers on the field at the same time, on the football field and the baseball field, with the Weeks and the Pearsons?
Well, that's kind of true.
Mm-hmm. It's a family affair.
And they both, Wes and Witt, both W's, and John and Josh, both J's. Tiger blood runs strong.
Very good points.
What are the odds? I didn't really have a chance to watch much other baseball. I mean, I saw some scores. I saw some highlights, obviously, particularly Georgia Tech, because they're local. But Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like we talked about last week, we don't really hit the SEC slate until middle to end of next month. So I'd say between now and then, it is definitely possible that LSU could be undefeated. Remains to be seen, of course, but definitely have the talent and the depth to do it. But I don't know, even if we did pick up a loss here and there, I don't think it would change my mind that this team should definitely be competing for Omaha.
Absolutely.
Early season hot take.
Yeah, well, I mean, for LSU baseball fans, Omaha is the target and almost the benchmark every single year. So any year that we don't go there is the one of the final eight teams is a little bit of a disappointment. Last year, getting knocked out in the Chapel Hill Regional, even with all the talent we did have, was a tough thing to face. And so expectations even higher this year, and I hope we can deliver the goods.
Yeah. Speaking of delivering the goods, LSU men's basketball actually did that this weekend. I don't know if anybody saw that or saw at least the results of it, but LSU men, and they did it in almost karmic style, because it kind of happened how they lost a game last week, just kind of had a win, but then just gave it up. They did that to Oklahoma in front of a near sellout crowd of 852 people. But they were down, what was it, like, I think seven within like the last, less than a minute. Got a three-pointer with and one, then some more points after that. I think they had to go to the line again. And LSU came out with the win, which was great. And I don't know, I was going to ask you, Tommy, since I know you're kind of checking the temperature throughout the season on the McMahon's hot seat. I don't know. Does this cool it off finally?
In my estimation, it does not.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I watched the game. Was not that I mean, I don't know. The whole season has just been not impressive. Like,
right.
It's just – they're just disappointing. Oklahoma's not a great team. Like you said, a very, very small crowd at Oklahoma for this game. Isn't that right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. So
it was very small. It was bad. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That number I think was for Oklahoma baseball. I apologize. But still, it was a very small basketball crowd too.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of, I don't know what they're going to do about Matt McMahon. But I don't think they're going to get rid of him right away. I saw a thing. I think we talked about this last week. Maybe not. But I mean, to his buyout with his whole staff would be $8 million and some change. I don't think the basketball program, and I don't think the athletic department has the will to chalk that up for a new basketball coach, especially when it's not like they're going to go out there and get a. I mean, even if you go out there and get like a Calipari, like what's happened with him at Arkansas. So I don't think there's a silver bullet to fix it, but I also don't think Matt McMahon's the one to lead us out. Now, I did have a conversation with someone close to the program, close to the athletic department, last week, talking about this very thing. And he was like, hey, they've got some really, really good players coming in for this next season. And I just don't feel, I'm not a basketball recruiting expert, but I feel like we've heard that story before on like, oh, just give it a year. They're bringing in some dogs this year. It's going to be really good. I don't know. I just don't feel like Matt McMahon has that edge to bring us to the next level.
I agree, and I think it's good that we beat Oklahoma to snap the seven-game SEC losing streak, but Oklahoma is the third worst team in the SEC, only ahead of LSU and South Carolina. So it's not like we took down number one Auburn or number two Alabama, who played in the basketball 1v2 Iron Bowl yesterday, which was kind of crazy.
Oh, did y'all watch that? Now that game, talk about a good game.
Yeah, Auburn, I watched most of it, Auburn pulling away at the end and kind of really showing their strength in a hostile environment at Alabama. And it made you wish that LSU could put together something like that. even though we played Auburn fairly close earlier in the season, Alabama as well, but still, we want to play like that and not like the team that we have. So it was good that they could steal one from Oklahoma, being down five with like 20 seconds left and making a miracle happen. And they do have South Carolina coming up this week, a team that has yet to win in the SEC. So maybe they go back to back with wins, but then they close off the season with five straight ranked teams. So hard to see too many W's lined up there. I do think they're kind of settled where they expect to be, and they're kind of letting the Matt McMahon situation fizzle out as it is. I don't think there's like, everyone's just kind of apathetic about it. There's not that many fans like up in arms that we need to cut him off midseason and pay the buyout and put the interim coach in or anything. It's kind of just a slow train wreck, which is a little bit sad to say. But yeah, you mentioned the recruiting. I just did a quick search that LSU has three players coming in next year for basketball, 3 4 stars. So the team overall ranking is number 19 in the country. Pretty good for LSU. But it's not like we've got the next Zion Williamson or the next Victor Wembanyama or some LeBron James coming in here. I don't expect the program's fortunes to turn 180 degrees in one season. So it kind of is what it is. And eyes are a little bit elsewhere for the time being.
Right. And I don't know. I still wonder, could Kim Mulkey coach the men and do better?
I don't know if she could do worse.
No, I don't think she could do worse. I mean, right. Could she recruit better than Matt McMahon? Maybe. I don't know. It is kind of crazy to me that, like, and looking back on it, that like we kind of based our entire rebuild of our basketball program on Ja Morant, because he's kind of who made Matt McMahon famous, right?
Yeah, at Murray State.
So I'm like, and I don't even, isn't Ja Morant like it not really as popular as good as he was like a couple years ago? I'm not a good NBA guy.
He's still a good player, but he was suspended for a while. Kind of not necessarily known as the best guy in general.
He had a gun charge, I think. Wasn't that an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some personal issues.
He had some off the court issues, which we've all been there.
Yeah, who hasn't had a gun charge in a Jeep? I mean, come on.
I know I've got a few.
Right, exactly. again, that was that's in the past. What have you done for me lately? LSU is no stranger to, you know, off the field issues, gun charges included. So if that's what it takes to find your next jaw, do it.
I just hope that I hope that Matt McMahon has a jaw out there, because I haven't seen him yet.
No, mm-hmm. And you know what's hard is that I think, you know, it was like a diamond in rough situation, because this was obviously before NIL. But Will Wade actually was playing the NIL game before it officially became official. So, like, how could he do it back then, but we can't do it now? It's just because, you know, again, LSU doesn't really have a storied basketball history, so they're just not looking there, I don't think, which in a way they could. I mean, somehow Dale Brown got Shaquille O'Neal, you know, just Chris Jackson, which is Ahmad Abdul-Rauf now, Stanley Roberts, Stromile Swift, all these guys that did great in the pros. Even John Brady got some guys that went pro. But it's like we're not even – just lucking out on anybody like that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the last really, really good pro player that we've had, well, Naz Reid's done pretty well in the pros.
Cam
Thomas. Yeah. Cam was Thomas. Sharpshooter for Will Wade. Yeah. Naz Reid. And then the Ben Simmons saga.
Oh geez. Yeah. We've all forgot about that, on purpose probably. But yeah, but still, like I said, we're due every now and then. It's just, I feel like we're kind of due now, but nothing's happening. So we'll see. Maybe like you said, maybe we'll have our Fab Five of 4 stars coming in next year. We'll see. Women, you know, they're still doing their thing. I think they're still a lock for a good seed in the tournament. Didn't quite pull it out against Texas. It was a good battle, but the women ultimately did lose, but I don't know. I think that just affects seeding more than anything.
Yeah, I watched some of that game, or I watched the end of that one as well, at the same time as baseball today, and it was tough that they lost at a good Texas team in Austin, number three in the country, so you can't blame them too much for that. But they were up by 12 in the third quarter and then just kind of slowly bled out as Texas came back, and a lot of our players got into some foul trouble, started playing some sloppy basketball, a lot of turnovers and kind of forcing shots. So definitely need to clean that up before SEC tournament and NCAA tournament run that will hopefully be happening in March. It doesn't seem like they have quite the same firepower as 2 years ago, the national championship run, but definitely still some good players with kind of the big three of Mikayla Williams, Flo-J Johnson, and Anissa Morrow were kind of carrying the torch for LSU. So still good. They've did pick up a nice midweek win at home against Tennessee, and now we got 2 weeks left in the season. So still only two losses on the season, so not too bad. South Carolina, our nemesis, they actually lost a big time, I think, to UConn today. So nobody's infallible, no absolute juggernaut. So it could be anybody's game come March. Hopefully Mulkey will just get them polished up. She was raging, doing her typical charades today at every single foul call, but that's just kind of what you get at this point.
I would be surprised if I was surprised by something Kim Mulkey did on the sideline. You know, I don't know what that would be. She's kind of done it all at this point, unless she just like ripped her shirt off like Hulk Hogan style. I just don't see that happening though.
But, basically the headlines are just what is she going to wear? Like what sequined colorful jacket is she going to throw on at this point? I don't know who her stylist is, but they have to have a pretty deep bag, like finding some random stuff.
Well, I've heard that they all that like all these people just give it to her because they want to be seen on the sideline with as Kim Mulkey's.
All the famous outfit. Sequins designers.
All the sequin designers of Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, in Louisiana, who knows? I mean, it's Mardi Gras Central, right? So they can hopefully they can. I don't know. Maybe she keeps it. Maybe she auctions them off for charity. Either way, they look great. That's probably the only shock we're going to see out of her because she's she's pretty much an open book. Other than that, I mean that's about all that's going on. I mean, I know track and field's going. LSU track and field did really good for the weekend. I'd say we're kind of just looking forward to see what will happen with women's basketball if men's basketball can find some semblance of. Something, I don't know, maybe go to the NIT. I don't know, maybe they'll do like they did a few years ago and just show out in the SEC tournament for no reason and shock us all. Probably not.
Well, they got two big games coming up back-to-back. They got at home against number three in the country, Florida, on the 22nd. So this Saturday, and then Tennessee on the 25th, a few days later. So if they could win one of those two, I mean, it's pretty unlikely, but maybe just get something going.
We could pay Florida back for boat racing us down in Gainesville. We could do that. We could just play spoiler at this point. But I think Matt McMahon's just biding his time for that fourth or fifth year, just surge and just catch everybody off guard. And that's where he finds his next jaw. And then we jaw him in.
It's either jaw. I mean, it's either find a jaw or find a new job. It feels like.
Job, exactly. But I don't know. Do you guys have anything else? It's All Star Weekend. Speaking of basketball, it's All Star Weekend. There's some white dude from the Orlando Magic won the slam dunk competition for the third year in a row. I haven't watched anything else. I mean, that's just what I was able to keep up with. But I mean,
I think that's it.
Did y'all see Carl Ravitch? Dude, that like talk about the SEC, how good the SEC is at basketball this year. And he goes, the SEC is so loaded. Look between or and there's no like elite team. Like everybody's good in this league. And SEC play their record since January is 82-82.
Oh yeah, I did hear that. And then they were asking, I think it was Kentucky coach Mark Pope about it. He's like, yeah, that's how the math works. Like, yeah. One team has to win and one team has to lose.
Yeah, he's talking about how the conference is 82-82 against itself.
Can't tie in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, but that kind of does say something, though. If you're beating everybody else, but you're just losing against your own brethren, hey, that'll probably fare well for you in the tournament. definitely remains to be seen. I don't know. Maybe we'll see something in the SEC tournament, which isn't too far off. I think you said we got another three weeks. Yeah, and then the SEC tournament, and then I don't know. I imagine LSU will have a nice, long, quiet off season for the men. Women will get cranking, but we'll be knee-deep in baseball by then.
Knee-deep in baseball and ready for spring football.
True. Yes, indeed. Anything else, guys? I think we could probably end it there if we wanted to.
Agreed. That does it on my end.
Okay. Did want to mention one other thing. Not something we usually cover on Talking Tigs because, well, there's no Tiger ice hockey team, at least as far as I'm aware. But USA did play Canada. They're in the Four Nations playoff for, I don't know if it's like a world title or whatever, what they're playing for. But anyway, USA and Canada played. The USA won 3-1, but I just thought it was interesting that, I don't know if there was just some disrespect going on because they're booing us during the national anthem up there in Canada, but our boys weren't having it. There were three fights within like the first 10 seconds. Oh, like right at the puck awesome. Drop.
Brought the fight. Hands out.
Yeah. And then the refs just like, all right, back. All right, this has been brewing. Let him go. That was done. And then I guess they dropped the puck again a few seconds later. Boom. And then again, like at 9 seconds. So it was just crazy. But we got it out of our system and got the win. Just wanted to mention that. So, yeah, USA. USA. Anyway, that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We will have some more baseball, basketball, and other news for you. So until then, stay safe and stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.